Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
We have a name now.
Yes, now with an actual name edition.
I wanted to go between levels.
Well, I mean, Intermission's sort of another version of being between levels.
Between two levels with Zach Galifianakis.
Anyway, welcome to another wonderful edition of the podcast, which may or may not itself be wonderful, but it was kind of interesting. It was pretty fun to do, and there was a surprising reception last time. There was some really, really interesting feedback from a lot of people. Generally, it was positive, but there were definitely a lot of criticisms. Let me just open up this file, more like a folder. Here we go. Nax says, you got your first downvote. Congratulations.
About time.
All joking aside, I feel that there's not enough Shivers and Kinsey. I don't mean that you're overly talkative, Terminus, but more that the ratio of you with Kinsey and Shivers could probably be shifted a little.
Maybe? I don't know. I talk enough.
Shivers is kind of usually content to go with the flow, but...
That's usually because I'm half distracted. For example, right now I'm working on a map. Probably shouldn't, but... Yeah.
This is Shivers, everybody. He is very, very efficient at multitasking.
He's basically Goro.
Essentially.
Do says, for fuck's sake, go once every 2 weeks. Don't burn yourself out. Once a week is a burden.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah. I mean, I was arguing for weekly, but... This works.
Yeah. Plus, it gives us more to talk about. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about this time.
A few things happened just before we recorded last week. 2 weeks ago.
Yes. And then stuff happened just before we started recording today. So, it's been an
podcast curse.
Lingica says, this should be advertised as a Xenoom podcast rather than a random Doom podcast.
We'll be going into other first-person shooters as well. Which we'll be talking about later.
Wait, Lingica? Yes.
Yeah, Lingica.
That guy.
I mean, I'm assuming it's pronounced the same way as the food, so...
But yeah, I don't think it'll be very specifically a Doom. Although I suppose we're leaning more towards it and Z-Doom, since that's what we sort of wallow in.
Yeah. Sometime down the line, I really want to, like, include some kind of classic mapper type who's really familiar with the... traditional styles of the engine.
With because, the boom stuff and that.
Yeah, I mean...
Because we need an extra perspective on that.
Yeah, we're more interested in, like, the tech, the development, the really fancy bits and bobs.
We want the new toys.
I can't wait to be berated about not using the keyboard controls.
We'll never be cool on Doomworld now.
A couple of nons on VR said, discussion about stuff going on in other retro FPS communities, such as the current shenanigans with Duke. Oh, boy.
Speaking of those.
We'll get to those.
Oh, yeah.
Patience, Padawan.
Get a Boom vanilla mapper to get in as well as instead of two gameplay modders and a Z-Doom mapper.
We do that, but how many of those guys actually have microphones and stuff?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we were picked up by Doom Radio, and I feel really bad because I'm about to shit on them after all the generosity they've known to us. But they really wanted to have us do bi-weekly so that we could alternate back and forth. Doom Radio does a show, and then we do the show next week, then they do a show next week, and back and forth and back and forth. They've been having trouble reviving things, and I feel really bad. I kind of feel really bad because I kind of put them on the spot with this, and now they're,
It's a strange situation to be in. It's just a little awkward.
No LL, guys. I love you to death. Love you to death. Appreciate the hosting. You're cool. Alright, and then the final bit of criticism. Where is Marty Kyra? He is a pillar of the community, you know. Posted by Marty Kyra.
Well,
that makes sense.
I don't know if this person made this comment understands what a busy person Marty Kyra is. I mean, I don't care how big a fan you are of him. He's just not going to abandon his crazy lifestyle of one of the most important and luxurious Z-Doom people out there.
No, no.
Do you think he has time to spare for such a small podcast? I mean, he clearly doesn't
have
time.
He's spending so much time making new releases.
Just hard at work on Space Pirate, which I'll be talking about when I talk about what we've been working on.
Oh, boy.
God, yeah, this is just a spoiler load of an intro.
This is definitely one hell of an intro load. But just throwing the awkwardness behind us and swiftly moving on while pretending to dust it underneath the rug. News in the FPS community. Just off the top of my head, we've got Dusk, Duke's new release, and another Doom 2 world record. And boy, can we go at length about each one of them. What to start with?
So, let's start with Dusk, because it's not every day that a retro FPS gets from the US gets announced on a Japanese website.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, nobody else had heard of Dusk. It was kind of just a very underground thing. You look at the Twitter and the followers were like in the double digits. And then Famitsu, of all places, runs an article about it. And it just shoots upwards.
I remember seeing like a blog post on it last year, near the end of the year sometime, which was like, oh, this looks pretty interesting. Looks like there's one guy working on it or something. And then, no, it was a team of people.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, it was shown at QuakeCon in sort of a behind-closed-doors sort of way. And the Famitsu article was based off of that showing, so sort of a weird way for things to sort of debut, though.
Yeah. They only just today released the official reveal trailer, didn't they?
Yeah, like the gameplay trailer that was released earlier was actually cut together by Famitsu's US editor.
And the game looks pretty cool. I mean, there's a whole lot of attempts at retro FPSs lately. But Dusk, it looks like it's really doing pretty well. I mean, it's hitting all of the notes. The game looks cool. Reveal trailer is cool. The action looks cool. I really like the setting.
Iron boxes everywhere.
Yeah, the setting is really interesting.
Yeah, the actual reveal trailer itself, though, it's the... I know we don't exactly come to retro FPSs for quality and writing, but... Oh, that was...
Yeah, that writing was trying a bit too hard.
Yeah.
It's like...
They left you for dead. Now you're out for blood.
We don't have our own identity. Please love us.
Begin your descent. It's a far cry from peace. You're going postal on the dark forces.
Fuck's sake, not this
There's
again.
There's unreal amounts of undying. They'll need a deus ex machina to recover from this shock to the system. It's time to get serious. Sam, the second encounter. Killer 7, Metroid Prime, Red Faction, Counter-Strike.
He's gonna shoot things. What more do you want?
Yeah, it's trying to validate its own identity by constantly comparing with other stuff. Hey, it's this game. The game that you liked. We're mentioning it by name. You want to play our game now?
We do what Nintendo don't.
And it's like, no, you really don't need to do that. I mean, you've got your own identity, and it's a really interesting identity. You're shooting up the Ku Klux Klan by way of Pyramid Head, and you're doing backflips. That's really cool. I mean, it looks ugly as sin, but it's really cool.
It's intentionally ugly as sin, in the right way.
One thing I really, really like about all of the trailers so far, the gameplay trailer, the reveal trailer, the Famitsu trailer, etc., is that they've always got this trailer of you jumping up into the air and doing overhead flips, shooting at enemies, but they never show you actually land.
Someone asked the Twitter about that, and apparently it's because the landing is still a little buggy, which I can imagine, because if you land it in the wrong way and they like have some sort of automatic uprighting effect, then... That could possibly make you lose your lunch a little bit.
I'd like to imagine that it's basically because he lands on his head and then promptly dies.
Yeah, just this big crunching, cratering sound. Yeah, that'll rule out the Oculus Rift version.
There's not really a whole lot to actually say about the gameplay aside from what little we've seen in the footage, but it seems like...
It's hitting... flippy Quake.
Yeah, it seems like it's very much Quake.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it really isn't. The weapons are cool. The action
is... I'd say it's more than just Quake. I mean, look at the kind of weapons you got. Seems like there's quite a variety of enemies and levels to location.
But I'm really interested in seeing where they go with this. What else they bring out. The Twitter has been really, really cool to follow because they talk about all sorts of other things as well rather than just straight 100% promotion all the time. One of the devs uses it as his personal Twitter account, and there's all sorts of random chat logs, occasionally mentions of, oh, hey, this is cool, I wonder what we can take from this.
Yeah, it's, like, I get the idea of the whole promotional mouthpiece Twitter account, but I think it's nice, better to sort of personalize things a bit more by having developers actually talk to the community through it. Now, that can backfire horribly. Ooh, oh, God, yeah. Can it backfire horribly? But when it works out really well.
Backfiring horribly, it's like when Randy Pitchford made an account for Duke Nukem to promote World Tour. And boy, is that a segue.
Oh, boy.
We're going to start talking
here
about that
now? Go.
Oh, Duke Nukem World Tour.
It had leaked a little bit before we recorded our last podcast, but now that it's actually announced and there's screenshots and video and stuff, we can safely judge it harshly for the next 25 minutes.
It looks like shit. Well, not just looks like, it's the entire thing has been a complete mess. They completely removed Megaton Edition on Steam, and they've got this new port, which has half the features, doesn't even have any of the expansions, and doesn't even have netplay.
Yeah, they've announced that.
Oh, they've announced it. It's not implemented?
Yeah, 8-player deathmatch, 8-player co-op, and single-player bot matches.
Isn't it based on eDuke 32?
Megaton Edition was based off JF Duke. World Tour is a new port.
Interesting.
I think it's based off the Xbox Live Arcade version.
And boy does it show with those Xbox huge requirements. More demanding than Crysis.
Yeah, that's what happens when you try and shove next-gen features into a port designed for the PS4 and stuff.
It takes 2 gigabytes of RAM to run. What are you calculating with all of that RAM?
Do I play this Duke Nukem quote or not? It is kind of a shame that they took down every other piece of Duke Nukem, with the exception of the most, I don't want to say controversial, because it's outright bad, Duke Nukem Forever.
It's a strange situation that that series is in, basically being passed or parceled around and re-released every 5 years. Like, a Duke 3D re-release would be fine, but there's been, what, 3 other re-releases over the past few couple of years? With the Xbox Live Arcade, the Megaton Edition, the normal edition for Steam and GOG,
the
Vita version,
one.
Yeah, and the cancelled Android one.
Then, of course, there was the Duke Nukem Triple Threat Edition with that infamous E3 trailer that everyone knows about.
That actually wasn't a port.
Yeah, that was a new game for the DS and the Vita. Only the DS version came out, and
what a mess.
It is fucking rough.
The thing that really hurts me about this, I mean, they brought back a lot of the original talent for World Tour. They brought back some of the original designers. They brought back John St. John. They brought back Lee Jackson.
Well, we haven't heard any of Lee Jackson's new stuff. He's trying something new in that his stuff is not MIDI for once. I mean, I love Lee Jackson, but a lot of his stuff, he was very MIDI right up until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And the new levels look fine. Like, they look a little weird in the new renderer due to the whole ambient occlusion thing that's shoehorned in. But they look fine. The new assets look a lot like stuff that would be in Duke Nukem 3D. The detail levels are pretty high. I'm okay with the new maps, at least from what I've seen in media so far. And the voice acting is... I think it's, like, the re-recorded quotes just feel a little... I know it's hard to try and imitate things you recorded 20 years ago, but it feels like a lot of the voice direction in that new recording session was basically, just imitate this, I'll be sitting here reading a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst part about it is that it just sort of clashes with the rest of the audio, which hasn't been upgraded. It's still the 8 kilohertz, 4 kilohertz recordings. And it doesn't necessarily have to be. If you remember, like, Per Christian's sound pack, he dug up a lot of the original, like, stock sound effects that were used.
Yeah.
And when, during that brief period when 3D Realm still had the license, they were going through a lot of the archives and they found a lot of the raw, like, files used to develop the original Duke 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the only partially upgraded sounds and re-recording things instead of using the original recordings from 20 years ago, it just feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Especially if they was able to, if it was possible that they were able to dig up the original DAT tapes for the voice recording. Because if I can just sort of step off to the side of the topic for a second, Day of the Tentacle 20th Anniversary Edition, they actually dug up the original DAT tape recordings, which had multiple takes of each voice line in the game at like CD quality. But so they had to dig through all these thousands of recordings just to find the exact lines that were used in the original game to put them in higher resolution. And it worked really, really well.
I remember John St. John, he did a couple outtakes of his Duke 3D recording.
Yeah, for the PSX version.
Yeah, and it was really, really interesting to look at those. I mean, all sorts of behind-the-scenes stuff is great.
Yeah, and that leads to another feature that's been shown for World Tour, which is the which could go either way, this feature, the developer commentary. That seems like it'll be really cool for the new levels, because apparently they talk about how the old designers, Alan Blum and Level Lord, sort of trying to remember how things worked in the old engine. And that'll be really fascinating to get that sort of insight. But the only video they've shown in the developer commentary so far is of E1L1. And it's basically a Randy Pitchford Let's Play.
Just everything about Pitchford. He's not involved. He should not be involved. He's not Duke. He wasn't...
The thing with Pitchford is that Duke 3D Atomic Edition was his first commercial game. That's how he got into the industry, by making a couple of levels for that, including the really detailed Mission Impossible thing for E4L1. And I guess he just has this emotional attachment to the series where he just has to be involved. It's not like Gearbox's... I know people like to sort of characterize them as this, but Gearbox isn't this like old game fuck-up factory.
You sure about that?
Well, if you look at the... What was the name of that space series that they acquired?
Aliens.
Homeworld?
Homeworld. They did re-releases of the two Homeworld games, and they were really well done. Clean upgrades, they were very respectful of the original game. And I think part of the reason for that was that Pitchford wasn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
He was... I mean, he probably wrote the checks and did the approvals, but he wasn't actively like dabbling in the creative side of the process. Duke sort of become his baby because that's how he got in, and I guess he's just trying to make sure it's perfect. Because if the Duke Nukem series has anything to its name, it's a history of being overcooked in the name of trying to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that guy who complained about not enough Kinsey, he's getting his dollar today.
Yeah. Now we just need Shivers to pick up the slack.
Sorry,
Shivers, tell us about Airbud.
Sorry, we'll save the Airbud podcast for later. And going back, like rewinding way, 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 way back, the new levels with Level Lord and the other guys I can't remember the name of, and boy, is this making
Alan
me look
Wong.
Bad. And it's really, really good to be getting new levels from these really old developers that were originally involved in the scene. It's like getting new levels from Romero all over again. Like if he released even more, a full episode. And that's great. That is fantastic. It's not $20 great. And it's not removal of everything else great.
Yeah, that's the sort of a hard ask, to put it politely.
And then there was this one guy who was going on, I'd pay $70 for it. I'd play $100. Yeah. And what? Why would you
sucker
do
every
that?
Minute. Sucker every minute.
Jeez.
I'm just sort of conflicted about the whole thing. Like, there's good parts and there's bad parts.
And
currently the bad parts are sort of putting a bad taste in the mouth that's a damn shame, because it sort of takes the edge off the good parts.
That's kind of like saying the iceberg is a bit of a bad point to the Titanic.
I'm just trying to be optimistic, man. There's some stuff in there that I think is really cool, but some of the other stuff...
Actually, there is something else Duke-related that got a new trailer recently that I'm really excited to talk about, because I haven't mentioned it this week.
Proceed.
So, AMC 3, Episode 3, got a trailer out recently.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Boy, does it look cool.
And one of the level designers on that recently released a standalone level set in the middle of a city that's being destroyed in the middle of an earthquake.
Oh boy, that is... What a map that was. Should we say that for when we talk about what we've been playing, or talk about
yeah,
it now?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, and boy, will shivers be able to gush.
Nah, oh, what a map.
Moving onward from that awkward siege, we've got another Doom 2 world record.
Yes!
We currently have a nightmare speedrun of Doom, Hell on Earth, 100% secrets in all levels, done in 42 minutes and 52 seconds by Zero Master. Zero Master's been doing some other Doom 2 world records, hasn't he?
Just been knocking them out.
That's quite the achievement.
I'll be honest, I don't pay a vast amount of attention to the day-to-day operations of the Doom speedrunning scene. My focus on looking at speedrunning mostly happens around tool-assisted and the games done quick marathons, but seeing things like this pop up every now and then, still, it's just sort of heartwarming because that a game that is 20 years old is not solved. People are still getting better times. People still finding new and interesting tricks. It's just great.
And there's so many more ways this can be done, too. I mean, we could do a Nightmare UV Pacifist run. That would
probably
be
impossible.
That
but
would be something.
Well, actually, if there's one thing Doom has taught me, it's that nothing is possible.
Nothing.
It's kind of something I found out recently that's kind of shocking, but I understand it, is that apparently the first map of Episode 4... The UV Tyson for that is over half an hour long. I think it's like 40-something minutes.
Really?
Yeah, probably because
I can fucking believe it.
Yeah.
Especially if that secret, the Nine Inch Nails secret, which brings in four barons in a really crowded space.
Oh, that's the real shit kicker.
So I sort of have to trigger it and fucking peg it to the door before it closes up.
I think it was year before last or so, there was this big hubbub all over the websites, all over Kotaku, all over other gaming journalism
outlets,
in the heaviest air quotes you can possibly imagine. And they were talking about how the world record for Doom 2 speedrunning had been smashed, or was it Doom 1 speed? Either way, one of the Doom speedrunning had been smashed, and it had been broken 3 or 4 more times since then, and not a single peep.
The novelty's gone, man. You can smash a world record once, but if you smash it 3 times, it's just like, oh, he's done it again. Nice.
Well, Nightmare Run, this is especially interesting, because Nightmare, that is the official bullshit mode.
Yeah.
It was not really intended to be beatable, and yet here they're beating it.
In style.
Yeah. They're beating it like a redheaded stepchild. They're beating it like Romero's own stepchild.
Ah, come on, man.
Yeah. And then moving on from there, we go on to the next topic of what our usual playthrough sessions have been like. Going from playing Doom 2 to perhaps playing the other stuff. And I know Shivers was really, really eager to talk about this Duke map.
Yeah, he can go first.
Okay, so I think Apocalypse, I believe it's name, made by Mrojan von Ustrom. Yep.
Shaky Grounds Part 1, Apocalypse.
Yeah. The guy who has the axe in AMCGC. It's a big old city map where you're just walking around, and then earthquake happens. Ooh, city explodes. Good stuff. You have to escape a collapsing building. It's a really solid Duke map. Really nice detailing, well-paced, good amount of ammo. Only one part I got stuck on, which was, I don't know, some kind of weird platforming puzzle. We have to get through a tower. I still don't know how you're supposed to get through that. But solid stuff.
And it looks stunning.
Does it?
Absolutely amazing.
Like, that's the crime of the whole podcasting, is that we can't really show you what it looks like. But, like, this map just looks... It really uses the classic renderer to great effect.
There's also tons of fun Easter eggs to find, like the news from Freud Anarchy, one of the alien leaders or something like that. There's a 20 years of Duke Nukem Boulevard or something along those lines. A whole bunch of fun little shout-outs like that. Yeah, Nukem Square.
Duke mapping has always been kind of a strange beast when compared to Doom mapping. I think even going so far as the original Duke Nukem 3D maps, they were significantly more open and exploratory compared to Doom maps.
I think Duke's level design is how to best approach like city environments in a retro FPS sort of context. And that's basically like a block or half a block, but with a decent amount of detail and lots of vertical space.
It's kind of interesting. From what I remember hearing from a few friends of mine who map for Duke Nukem, there's a lot more limitations than in Doom. Like, you can't save sometimes. There's a limited amount of line death sectors, that sort of thing. And, of course, you're going to have a ridiculous amount of killer doors if you're not careful.
The doors. My best friends.
And then there's trying to edit the actual language itself. Con is,
Con language is not fantastic.
Con language is probably the biggest con of modding for Duke.
Clever, clever. You'll be writing political cartoons soon enough.
Well, both of you chastised me for that, and I have no clue what individually you said, so I'll just call that a victory. Then from there, how about you, Kenzie? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a few things. I'll hit on two of them really quickly. Instead of just one. First off, your favorite topic, Zedum ports of Edge mods. I looked at one of the multiple ports of Immoral Conduct.
Ooh.
And that was interesting to look back on, because you could see all these things that were sort of... Immoral Conduct was one of the first big Edge gameplay mods as we know them.
Not just Edge. Immoral Conduct was one of the first big gameplay mods, period. It's like the father of weapon modding.
Yeah, and looking back at it, you can see all these things that were a revelation back then, like the multiple firing modes, the grenade launcher stuff, all these things that were fascinating and new and exciting back in the day. But looking back at it in a modern perspective, it sort of feels weightless, I guess. A lot of the things that were sort of adopted in more recent times that contribute to gameplay feel, some things just feel like they don't really have much impact in comparison to things that we do nowadays. And of course, the weapon animations aren't as detailed as they are compared to like the animation textures stuff that we do nowadays.
See,
yeah.
We've
got some custom design sounds. We've got a whole bunch of one-frame animations, or rather, one-frame each animations, and compare with back in the day, with choppy animations and very stock sound effects lifted from other games. It's weightless, yeah, but at the same time, I think there's a real charm to it.
Yeah, it feels like sort of a scrapbook.
Yeah, it's making the best with what you had at the time.
Yeah.
And with what you had at the time, boy, is it really the best.
Yeah, they really did what they could with what they had.
I still can't get over the items, though. I mean, last time I played, I don't know if this is specifically for Zedium or the original Edge edition. I will admit up front, I have not touched the Edge source port. I mean, I played it maybe a total of once, went, wow, this is complete shit, and then deleted it. But one thing that I really liked in the Zedium ports... You pick up a med kit, and the item actually stays there, but it's open.
Yeah.
And empty. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's nice little touches like that, that sort of typified Corey Whittle's old mods.
And it's full of those little bits and touches. I mean, even if the technology has been surpassed in a lot of other ways, there's still little bits and bobs that you don't see a lot recently, and that keeps it fresh. It keeps it really interesting to play through.
And the other mod that I played, which is a complete fucking contrast, was a little bit of Hunter's Moon.
Ooh.
With the map set?
That whole mod thing. Like, okay.
What did you think of it? I played through that a while back.
Well, I didn't play through all of it. And it visually, that mod is a real showcase. Like, you got, like, Doom 3 and Quake 3 models all over the place. A bunch of the level design looks like it's out of the Quake 3 engine.
Just absolutely gigantic architecture.
Yeah, just visually, it's a treat. It's something that you don't really see out in most GZ Doom map sets. Or mods, for that matter. And it's really well done in that regard. Gameplay-wise, I'm not really sure what I think. The level design sort of feels like... the monster layout just sort of feels like he throws a bunch of Doom 3 monsters into every corner and just lets them sort of deal with themselves. There's not really a vast amount of of logic in monster placement. He just sort of throws things together in clumps. But that first opening battle was so very Serious Sam.
Yeah, where the place builds itself.
Yeah, where you like enter this like massive corridor with all these jump pads and stuff, and hordes of monsters start coming at you, and it's like, yeah, this is basically Serious Sam with a Quake 3 skin. But the actual combat in that area was very much like shooting at hordes of monsters and having them all blow up in one explosion. It didn't really feel like there wasn't really a lot of strategy involved, even as far as Serious Sam style fights go.
I was going to ask, did you make it up to the lava section?
I don't think I did. I was in like these corridor areas.
From what I can tell, each of the main maps has like a hazard area where there's no combat and you just have to use your mobility to get around. And it's really interesting, and it's a cool setup that I haven't seen anywhere. But boy, do you need to play the mod a lot to get actually through it.
The problem with like momentum-based puzzles and 3D platforming.
Instant kill lava starts rising, and you've got a rocket jump onto pretty thin platforms out of there.
Actually, that's another thing I can sort of say nice about this mod. The rocket jumping is really good.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
At least it has to be, because it's very Quake 3 themed.
The thing that I get with Hunter's Moon that really, I won't say worries me, but concerns me, is that it's very much a mod about spectacle. Like you said, it looks visually amazing, but it does all sorts of things that inherently aren't really very good in the engine. I mean, GZ Doom still chokes on 3D models in so many ways. There's no bump mapping. We only recently got SSAO, and all of the high-res textures kind of look out of place about things.
Yeah, the Doom 3 monsters look a little weird because they haven't been, like, bump maps haven't sort of been properly baked in. And then you have, like, a Doom 4 Baron with an axe standing in the middle of them. And it's just, like, the guy making it is super, super talented and he's doing some great stuff. But, like, some of the gameplay design decisions just sort of feel a little misguided, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pacing, not a fan of
pacing
that
feels a little whacked.
He's done all sorts of incredible stuff, and it turns out really, really well for what it was. But at the same time, and this is complete heresy of me all people to be suggesting this, I don't think the Doom engine is what you should be using for this. It's just not really designed for this.
On one hand, I understand that, and I've argued that with other modders in the past with their projects, where they're like, oh, I'm going to make an MMO, I'm going to make DayZ, blah, blah, blah. But I guess part of the fun of working on a project like this is seeing what you can strangle out of the engine.
I was going to say, Quake 2 and Quake 3 modding seems to have died out, like, hard.
Yeah, a lot of the... I don't remember the exact details. I'm sure there's people I could ask about this, but a lot of the Quake 2 community just sort of gravitated around a single mod, CPM, I believe, and they're just sort of sitting there on that forever. Mm-hmm. And Quake 2, I think, had some sort of a limitation or whatever that made it a pain to mod. I don't remember the details.
I seem to have heard something about how, like, basically all the people that knew how to mod Quake 2 are disappearing, and it's incredibly difficult to figure out how to do it on your own.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Meanwhile,
it's still a shame.
Meanwhile, Quake 1, I wouldn't say it's flourishing, but it's staying alive.
Yeah, those map jams are wonderful. Oh, man.
Yeah, I had a brief look at the recent map jam, the base one. They've done some fascinating stuff in that. Like, the first level in the latest map jam is so fucking vertical.
Mm-hmm. Quake maps are wonderfully vertical. Have you ever played Nyalo Thibtep, or how you pronounce that?
That mod was fucked.
It was wonderful, though.
Yeah. So, Tom, what have you been playing? Sorry, we sort of shut you out the conversation.
No, that's fine. That's fine. What I've been playing, I've actually been not really playing a whole lot of Doom recently. Okay, so for the Booty Project, I've been trying to get back into the inspirations that originally made me want to play it, made me want to make
playing other games to research.
Yeah, playing other games to research. And I've been playing a lot of Unreal lately, the original Unreal. And boy, is that game still fun. I mean, so many years later, it is an unbelievable treat. The environments are still beautiful, even as barren as they are with old technology. The weapons are still fun to use, even if they're kind of janky and look really ugly. The enemies, they're still a pain in the ass. I mean, the Scar AI, it's limited beyond limited, but launching projectiles at them and they dodge it constantly, oh, that makes them a real pain. Of course, it's also really easy to exploit because they stand on ledges and you can just shoot a projectile and they'll automatically dodge into the depths of the abyss below, but it still adds a lot of liveliness to combat.
Yeah, that's, I think that's the word that best describes the combat in Unreal. Lively.
Mm-hmm. There's always something happening.
Enemies are a lot more active than what they were in Quake and Quake 2. I mean, Quake 2 had a little bit of dodging, a little bit of ducking, but nothing on the scale that Unreal had.
It's worth saying that the very first serious enemy that you actually face in Unreal is a rocket-launching behemoth.
Yeah, the Brute.
Yes!
And it has a really great introduction. Like, you're walking towards this door and you hear a scream and suddenly a body gets thrown out of it and then gets exploded by a rocket. Unreal did some really good scripted events.
And then there's the way the Scar were introduced.
With the corridor, with the lights.
Yeah, still one of the best moments in any FPS.
No, I forget. Was Half-Life or Unreal? Which one came out first?
I think Unreal.
Yeah, I think Unreal. And then Half-Life came out very close afterwards.
It's sort of weird how these totally different companies on totally different sides of the country could sort of come to the same conclusions independently in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Unreal was a really influential and fascinating game. I mean, the engine is still being evolved and used today, very famously. And I guess it's just sort of a crying shame that it never got a sequel.
Yeah, it's really a shame. Would have been nice to get a sequel, but no, never did.
At least we got Unreal Tournament.
Never did.
I mean, that tournament spin-off was pretty good, but...
Ah, what a shame.
Maybe real missed opportunity.
One of the things that really, really strike me about the original Unreal is how much the set pieces still hold today. And it's not because of any of the graphics, but rather how much they really affect the gameplay. Like, when you get out of the Vortex Rikers and take your first step onto the planet of Napali, that is one of the most chilling moments I have ever experienced in video games. And it's not because of the graphics. I mean, graphically, the area is barren. It kind of looks like ash. You've got a big wide field, maybe one or two rocks, a couple high cliffs, and that's it. But it's really a massive contrast to the gameplay, because in the very first level in the Vortex Rikers, you're crawling around in ducts, you're in really compressed and cramped spaces. It's pretty much a stereotypical sci-fi tech base you'd see in any other video game. And then
you're suddenly thrown out into this open field that's bright and sunny and there's a waterfall and it's like, fuck, what do I do now? Where do I go?
Yes, exactly.
A lot like that one set piece in Half-Life where you exit the tube and you're on the cliff face.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the direction that you're pointed at to go, I mean, you step out, you immediately look at this big, vast, open area, and the direction that you want to go, it's actually the wrong direction to go in. You head on over there, you find a little hut with some ammo inside, you find some dead bodies, you find a pond, but no, that's not the direction to be going in. And that just really cements it even further because, oh, I have to explore. I'm able to explore. It's so huge. There's other areas to go.
They did some really interesting stuff with the level design in Unreal. Sort of taking their big, fancy, brush-based polygon technology and sort of... I really fucked up that sentence, but you know what I mean. And just sort of playing around more and sort of trying to create something more more consistent than split-up levels. Levels sort of flow between each other realistically.
The levels aren't really just exit switches. They're not exit corridors or portals. No, it's all, you go down a corridor and you're in the next level and it flows. the corridor led into the Radrigar Mines, or the Dark Arena, or the Nali Chisra Temple.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, I still have a soft spot for that game, man. I'm gonna have to play it again.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my absolute favorite games of all time, and... Oh, man, now I just want to call it off and play it again.
More. Yeah, I really ought to play Unreal sometime.
Yeah.
It's great, dude.
So, speaking of working on the Broody Project, how have you been doing that term?
I've been working on replacing a lot of artistic assets lately, and it's really kind of interesting for a wide variety of different reasons. I mean, I've been saying interesting a lot in this podcast, but it's especially so because I am not an artist, so putting me in charge of replacing artistic assets is like, the graphics. I did the graphic. They look good. But
it'll be like putting really... Helen Keller in charge of graphics.
But it's really looking back at how some of the classic graphics were developed and a lot of prop-based things.
Mm.
I still can't get over how almost all of the Doom weapons were just toys. I mean, it's common knowledge at this point. Yeah, the shotgun, it's a little Tootsie toy cap thing. And when they discovered the BFG, I just flipped my shit. That thing looks so incredible. And because it's based on just these props, they look more realistic.
Despite
which
the fact
is kind of an irony.
They're basically resprited over the top in deluxe paint.
Yeah, which is ironic because of that, but because they're derived from real figures, real objects, real shapes, that lends them a lot more realism. Now, Doom 2016, it was pretty interesting. It came out pretty nice. It came out pretty decent. But one thing that I really don't like about that game is how busy the weapon designs look. They are 100% pure stuff. It's stuff attached to everything. There's all these little vents, these screws, these panels, these doohickeys, the doodackies. All of them look kind of the same to each other. I still am having a hard time telling the assault rifle and the shotgun apart from each other, especially when you put that heavy scope thing on the shotgun, the triple shot, and looks like it's got an assault rifle with an underbarrel.
See,
the traditional Doom weapons... The traditional Doom weapons, on the other hand, they're real simple because they were derived from real things.
That reminds me of a post I saw a while back talking about the way that id designs stuff is really busy for some reason. I mean, their example was the prototype dog from Wolfenstein The New Order, and how it's just like a metal cage with what looks like tubes and pipes everywhere underneath it. And it's like, wouldn't it make more sense to just put a big flat piece of armor on that? Why does it have to have all these little dials and tubes on it just for graphical quality or what?
There was actually a blog post on the Bethesda site about the weapon design in the new Doom, showing concept art and with paragraphs from the responsible artists talking about reasons for certain things. And it feels like a lot of the busyness in the Doom 4 weapon design is so that things can be taken off and clipped on for part of the weapon module system. It feels like a lot of the weapon module stuff was supposed to be a little more elaborate, I guess, in certain circumstances, but they sort of trimmed it back for the final game.
Yeah, wasn't there some kind of six-mode BFG?
Yeah, there was going to be a moddable BFG, but they cut that because they realized... I believe the exact wording that they used was that they realized they were fucking up the most popular gun in video games.
Yeah.
You see that mountain? You can attach it to your shotgun. But enough about me. I'm sure you've got all sorts of adventures of your own in regards to Meta Doom, huh?
Yeah, one of the features of the engine in the developer build, Flat Sprites, was temporarily pulled to be rewritten because apparently the code was such a mess that even GraphZal was like, well, dude, I can't work with this. So I pulled the download briefly until it comes back and I can make sure it works with the new implementation. Which kind of sucks because I was getting close to a new release that won't be a marked as a tech demo, it'll be 1.0. But I think it's good that I take a bit of a break from it because I've been working on it almost daily for like 3 months or so. I should probably step back a little bit, get a bit of perspective.
Take a breather, sort of
yeah,
relax a little,
yeah,
and then come back and look with fresh eyes.
Yeah, basically. So another thing I helped out with, I didn't really fully work on it, but it's worth mentioning, is if I can just grab the exact name. It is Woolly Wool's Wolfenstein cosmetic upgrade.
Ooh, yeah, that looks really interesting.
Which is a mod for EC Wolf that basically takes all the fancy graphical tchotchkes Woolly's done for his own mods like the EC Wolf tech demo, and basically puts them in a position where they can be wrapped around the pre-existing Wolf 3D levels, the pre-existing Spear of Destiny game. And any, like, vanilla Wolf 3D levels that don't make any source support changes. And I sort of helped cut up some sounds for that, and that was pretty fun, just going back and... Actually going back and forth with someone else's sound in regards to sound design instead of just doing things myself. Because you get into conversations like, oh, I like the sound of, like, the Death Knight falling over. But it's still obviously a hollow suit of armor. Do you reckon you could like overlay like a sound of someone falling over without armor over the top so it feels like someone's inside? Which is a completely ridiculous idea, but it actually kind of worked.
Yeah. It's really kind of interesting to see EC Wolf still getting mods. I mean, it's...
I really want to make an EC Wolf mod, but the current tools, like... The sort of the Wolfenstein community, as I understand, is still very much in the mode of creating individual source ports for every mod.
I think generally they use SDL, which is just it's
yeah,
DOS,
but like still mod, but still like building their own variations.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, people make Team Raycast is completely different from the other guys.
And EC Wolf is sort of like this. Novelty on the side, I guess, which is a real shame. Partially because it's so easy to program for, since it's just using Decorate and Map Info and all that Zedum stuff, but partially because there's no tools for level design.
That really gets me a bit annoyed, actually, because...
Yeah, I really want to make something with it, something like revisiting my old 8-bit Bitman Zeta idea sort of thing, with like low-res textures and flat ceilings and that. Really diving into that old NES Game Boy style, but the level design just feels like it would be pulling fucking teeth.
Yeah, fun story. The entire reason I make Doom mods is because I wanted to make a Wolfenstein mod, but all the tools for it were just kind of bizarre and hard to use.
Yeah.
And now you've got this new system and the new code base, and you can actually do a lot of stuff with it.
But you can't.
Yeah. And it's kind of got this weird stigma in the community. You get some Doom modders and they look at it and they go, well, why would you do anything on Wolfenstein and not Doom? And then you take the Wolf modders and they look at it and it's go, but we've got this, it's perfectly fine.
Well, I mean,
and
but we've been doing it this way for so long, it's clearly the best way.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that. I'd say it's more, since we've already got people so experienced with source code modding where you can do anything, what's the point of going to this more limited thing?
Yeah,
it's more limited, but at the same time, it's more...
You can do things with it so much faster and...
It's more accessible.
It's more efficient, too.
Fuck, man, it's such a missed opportunity.
It's a swing and a miss. It's a very good swing, but it's still missing. And it's like, you got this home run needed to win the game, and they swung, and they just kind of nicked the ball, but it's a pop fly, and now this metaphor is kind of sailing way up high in the sky. Point being, it deserved a lot better. EC Wolf deserves a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Bills are still developing it. Yeah, it's been kind of quiet lately, but partially because he was doing like support for the Macintosh version of Wolf, and it'd be nice to be able to play around with that without having to, like, set up Basilisk 2 and all this other stuff.
Oh, man. If they get Mac support for EC Wolf, I'm going to flip out. I can't wait to play all of Lazaro.
Well, it's already in. It's just not quite complete.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, also because I wanted to support things like Blake Stone. which has a sore spot, but it's a little, it's comparatively pretty rough.
It has a sore spot?
Yeah, Beastone.
Huh.
It's on GitHub, and when I first tried it, it had a really annoying bug where it'd be harder to hit enemies if you increased your resolution, because the hitboxes wouldn't scale with the resolution.
Huh.
I think they eventually fixed that, though. Wolf modding just gets me down, man.
I love wolf mods. I probably played more Wolfenstein level sets than Doom ones. Well, could take completion.
Yeah, but look on the bright side. I mean, it could be worse. Could be marathon modding.
Those poor sons of bitches.
Got a whole bunch of really great mods, and that's it.
We could dedicate an entire podcast to bitching about ALF 1. In fact, that might be next fortnight.
Oh, God.
I look forward to it.
I don't think 1 hour would be enough to cover everything wrong with ALF 1.
We'll have to invite in some fresh blood for that.
Maybe Marib.
Maybe Ryoko TK. Yeah. I'm sure he's got a lot he'd love to say.
Yeah.
How about you, Shivers? You said you've been working on a couple stuff, in contrast to last week where we had a nice 5 second delay.
Well, actually, what have I been working on? Wait, no, I do. I have been working on something.
You had one job!
Hear me out. Okay, so, I'm sure you guys know about my issues I had with a certain super shotgun in MetaDoom.
Ah, yes. The shivers hurt her.
Physical pain. And so, like most mods I worked on, I started making content for it because the default content bothered me on a psychological level. Possibly something.
Well, actually, I don't think a lot of our listeners will be familiar with your issues, so why don't you go in great detail?
Well, okay, the first issue was that it was terrible, and the second issue that was that it was bad.
Tell us how you really feel.
I've been chewing out Kinsey for a bit. Well, I just decided, you know, I'm not going to wait for Kinsey to make his own sprites, even though I, like, completely trust him that he would be able to. So I just went and did it myself.
And he did a way better job of it than I would have been able to.
But that's not the...
And look at it now. MetaDoom is free for the masses to... Oh, wait, hold on.
It's not the best MetaDoom sprite I've made, though. There was another weapon that got put in recently that Kenzie...
Yes! The dog collar.
The dog gun.
The dog gun is...
A thing of beauty.
Doom RPG on mobile is the dumbest fucking thing. We just can't put it any other way. One of the inventory items in that lets you, turn dog enemies into weapons. And so dogs, I made realism kind of tied to this shtick now. I sort of added that in, and Shivers made some awesome sprites for it. And it is kind of funny.
Let's
especially
see,
with the dumb animations I hacked together for it, where it almost looks like you're, like, thrusting a dog at the enemy.
Get him, Fido.
Or, you know, you're wearing it as a glove on your hand.
Dog glove!
Actually, where would you be sticking? Okay, actually, never mind.
I made something for Nax. Gamoda has been worked on. And struggling with fire effects for a few days, Keegan saw the light and just got me to do it for him.
It's so much easier than just to get you to do things for people. Where people... It sort of seems like the creative process in this community sometimes is that people try and do things for like a week, yell fuck it, turn to you, and you do it in like 10 minutes.
I actually kind of intentionally invoked that for one part of Demon Steel development. I just outright told him, okay, so my creative process for some of these sprites is that I make the sprites and I intentionally do it as badly as possible because I know you'll play it and you'll get offended and redo it.
I think community map projects do pretty much the same thing, but with Zaza.
See, it's funny because that's the exact reason I'm working on some stuff with... not the Space Pirate. Though I... Actually. Booty Project is because... I think I saw something in there. I'm like, that's bad. You shouldn't do it like that. Here, I'll do it. And then I realized, wait, didn't I say I wasn't going to work on this at all?
So basically your entire creative process with modding shifts is no, give it to me. You're doing it wrong.
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
For Booty, Shivers really wants to kind of relegate himself to hands-off so he can keep an outside perspective, and so that way he can more efficiently tell me when I'm doing things wrong. And it's a nice
approach. Actually, I just want to see you suffer and have to map, so...
Oh.
Everyone wins.
Well, yeah, there's also that.
Everyone wins.
But you gotta learn to map, Jerem. You just have to.
I'm trying, okay? I'm trying as hard as I can. I mean, occasionally I look at GZ Doom Builder for 2 hours a day instead of one.
Other than a certain
and
map
that's
project,
why Dump 3 is taking so long.
Oh god, Dump 3.
Other than a certain total conversion I've been messing around with that I want to get out this year, I've been working on a mod called the Space Pirate, which I really hope gets worked on, because I like it.
Well, if the current track record with projects like MetaDoom keep on going, then...
Well, if Marty Kirill was actually working on it instead of trying to get onto podcasts...
He's just too much of a pillar of the Doom community.
And that's our callback.
Yeah.
But yeah, been making a few animations for it, putting them into frames and giving them to Marty. I'm like, you can do it. Come on.
You can do it.
Here comes the airplane.
Here comes the plasma rifle. Put it in.
Nothing. It's not helping that Marty's now currently working on his movie. And honestly, I can't really blame him for this one instance, because this movie's been something he's been wanting to do since he was a child, so...
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to realizing your childhood dreams, just go for it, dude. I mean, Doom mods can wait.
Can't wait to see Trees 7, The Return of Trees.
I'm pretty sure Marty secretly hates the Trees trilogy, or perhaps not so secretly hates the Trees trilogy now.
Yeah, there's trees in it.
Are you sure about that? Might make a mod where you have to destroy all the trees.
I wouldn't do that. I think a lot of people would look down on that really poorly nowadays. It'd almost be considered treason.
So,
fuck my life.
Nope. And I think with that, that's a very good note to end the podcast on. Thank you all very much for watching. It's been a wonderful, wonderful treat. And, well, as usual, let us know what you think. What we mess up on, what you like, what you don't like.
Whether or not Marty should be on the next podcast.
Whether we talked enough.
Yes, whether you talked enough. And depending on how things go, we might actually have another guest join us, hopefully.
Maybe. We'll see who we can, like, tie up and throw into the back of a car.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to promise anything, but maybe. I mean, if dice continue to roll properly, then, yeah, good times all around. Anyway. Thank you all for listening, and see you all next bi-week, next fort week. I forget the proper term.
In 2 weeks' time.
Yes, see you all in 2 weeks' time.
It's been real.
Can't wait for the next Doom Radio that's supposed to be in between the next one.
Damn it, Shivers, we're supposed to get on their good side!
I like...